This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
The differentiation here is that previously, healthy buildings and smart buildings were already present, but they weren't really trends. So what kind of changed that perspective is that real estate owners, agencies, weren't competing against others who offer offices on the same marketplace. They were starting to compete against working from home. And that's a difference that that hit the whole sector drastically, because quite early you already saw like the big tech companies saying like, well, people are going to work from home extended till June 21 or next summer, or maybe next year we're going to downscale. So how are you going to increase like the value of the spaces that you offer from a real estate investment point of view and generate a good stable return like you used to do with rent? One of the things that you should look at is how you can make sure that your space is able to go open again and create a safe, attractive environment that goes further than just ping pong tables and some crafts in the corner, right? One of the things that we really noticed was that there was a lot of more demand towards data-driven solutions. And for us, it's then censoring and providing smart software to give you good insights in how air quality in your building is affecting health and productivity. And that was to us quite a change that we saw, because suddenly, how are you going to make policies based on nothing? You need data to kind of register how your space is currently at, what's currently at, like what's the baseline, and how is the air quality going to be affected when people walk in, and how are you going to check if your HVAC system is able to maintain healthy standards even when the occupancy rate is increasing. And those are challenges for facility managers and asset managers to really look at, like, what are the capabilities for my building and how can I adjust to that the occupancy rate in which people can return, and shape like organization-wide policies based on the fact of how much real estate you should use.
So Felix, if you were trying to get these customers prior to the pandemic, what was their thoughts and reaction to the value proposition? Because it seems to me like we all know what it's like now. It's essential to reopen offices. The corporate world has made promises to their employees and tenants and consumers that we're going to have safer buildings, you know, to lure you back into the workplace, to lure you back into a public space. We're going to have a safer place. And we know everyone now cares, you know, and so it's the law. We have to make sure that we screen people when they enter our buildings. And ultimately, we have to go beyond that and show to people the air quality here is great. And people care a lot more about these things. But prior to COVID, who cared? And was this a nice to have previously, or was this actually a must to have even back then, prior to COVID?
Well, prior to COVID, I think general awareness was non-existing. So air quality as a topic on itself became, or indoor air quality to be more specific, became much more relevant because of COVID. However, policies from the European Union and documents already stated that there was a trend happening towards monitoring in smart buildings in new and renovated buildings as a whole. That was like documentation from 2019. But let's say that there was very little incentive prior to COVID, because it was rather seen as a nice to have, an additional thing, than that it was seen as a necessity to get insight and therefore grip on the environment that you are exposing your tenants to.
Did you get frustrated? Did you feel like quitting at any point? Because the product that you've built is one that really is needed in the future, and you didn't have the foresight. No one knew COVID was going to happen, but we knew that there will be a future where the air will need, we will, buildings will need to be held accountable for the indoor air quality and also lives. And we've got an ethical dilemma or responsibility here. But did you feel like quitting? Did you ever get frustrated and just feel like, damn it, the real estate industry is too slow. I'm done with this.
Well, absolutely. There were points that I was thinking like, is this ever going to take off? Because we started off in 2018 from university, and we developed like the whole sensor ourselves. And it takes time for an R&D process to not only work on software and on but also on hardware. I mean, if you take like the lean startup principles, right? You develop something very quickly, you're going to validate it, and then you're going to build more of it. But you're not going to build something at first before even testing if there's market demand. Well, with hardware, it takes that additional step that you have to put in more effort at first, because you have to demonstrate a certain product before you can even go and test. So you have to be very, very sure about what you're doing. And I think the biggest challenge for us was to really see the demand increase from a market perspective, because that was just completely different. It was 180 degrees opposite of what we are looking at right now. So yes, it was a very harsh time from.
When did you realize, and how was that moment when COVID happened? And I'm sure there was a moment of panic. And how long was that moment of panic? How long did it take you to go from this is hard to sell to, oh my God, my contracts are being canceled, everyone wants to put everything on pause, to wow, this is the greatest opportunity for this business ever? Walk me through that journey. I'd love to hear it.
At first, I think it took a while to realize, like, okay, nobody is going to the office, but for how long? So how are we going to run operations and trying to close the contracts that were on the tables like as soon as possible? Well, that wasn't working out. So the situation wasn't very forgiving in that way. And I think that the real moment of change happened in August, after the holidays in the real estate sector. We have a Dutch word for it. It's called bouwvak. So it's like the builder's holiday, basically. And after there was a drastic change, and we saw that there was an increase in the demand of different companies, like a lot more interest from the bigger construction parties that we were talking to. We found better distribution channels to scale up with companies that are in our scope of working. So we're, for example, building automation, steering HVAC systems with AI. Prior to it, it was more focused on solely energy savings, but a new value proposition arises when you can combine the accurate insights from IoT and user feedback with our app, in combination with the AI that our partners provide in the building intelligence sphere. So you can not only steer on building efficiency, but also on health. And that was quite a game changer, which got us again on the right spots. So I think August was really the tipping point, which created a lot more positive energy for our company to move forward.
Interesting. And what does the future look like now? Do you think this? Do you think that once offices open up, people will go back to the way they were before, and the whole measuring air quality and ensuring an environmentally appropriate place is just going to disappear as a priority? Or do you think it's permanently ingrained and this trend is unstoppable from now on?
I think the trends for healthy buildings and smart buildings, so rather the hybrid of those two, is something to stay, because not only certifications such as LEED or WELL or BREEAM were already present, but I think they have become more of a necessity as well to make your real estate also attractive to tenants, because the scope of people has changed of what's important in the office, because the functionality is changing as well. We're going from a place where you're solely working to a place where you're going to meet people and you can also work from home a couple of days. So I think the tolerance changed from a tenant's perspective, which will result also in different drivers for real estate investors as a whole. That's kind of the short answer. But also, I would like to ask you a question In addition to that, because in London, there was a case recently, I think it was the beginning of this year, when there was a death case discussed in court, and the judge ruled that air quality, air pollution in London was the factor which ultimately killed this person. And I'm wondering, because you've lived in London and studied there, how was it there? And do you think from that perspective, in your own experience, that there is going to be a definite change in the way people perceive air quality as a whole?
You know, one of the things that enables technology to become mainstream is when the very things holding us back change. And what's holding technology back and PropTech back is legislation and the whole regulatory environment. Some parts of PropTech benefit significantly, other parts are held back by regulation, because regulation can force compliance. You're in an area where you're measuring indoor air quality, regulation is very helpful. Once legislation starts to create compliance penalties, that's when the game changes. Because, you know, there's one thing about setting targets EU-wide, and there's another thing about saying, if you don't comply with this, we're going to slap fines on you. We're going to sue you. We're going to literally ruin your business unless you comply with the law. And so I'm seeing a lot more focus on compliance, and it's no surprise to hear that judges are now basically creating serious liabilities for building owners. And it's shocking to think, like, a building owner would suddenly be in court and would be blamed for the air quality. They never saw it as their responsibility. If we start to take accountability for our space, and our space doesn't mean the brick and mortar and the foundations that hold up the roof, it means everything inside, including the things you cannot see, which is the air. It is our responsibility, and we have a duty to provide a safe place for our occupiers or for the end tenants. That is when change will happen. So, you know, once legislation creeps in, you're going to start to see people pay attention. I mean, this case you talked about has set a precedent now where I'm sure the students in every law school around the world looking at this thinking, okay, so let's look at this case. If a case like this comes up again, how will we argue it? Well, how do you argue it? First, you need to prove it. It's like any crime situation, any murder. How do you prove this? In murder cases, forensic evidence is critical. So in a situation where you're blaming the air quality, where is the infrastructure to prove it? And I think, especially for something like Clarify, which is what you're doing, once you can prove with hard, real data, here is the quality of the air, here is the level of humidity, the temperature, the particulate matter, the, you know, the volatile organic compounds in the air, that's when, wow, ouch, this stuff is now publicly visible. Because it's publicly visible, I have a compliance issue suddenly. And I think we're going to be in a beautiful state in the future where all the invisible areas around us, the spaces, I like to call it, right, can be quantified. And it's great to see companies like Clarify are creating that future state. You know, to go back to the initial question, London is very polluted, and I'm sure it's changing over time. But London isn't what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about places like China. You know, I had a significant presence for my last startup in China, and we had a big office in Beijing. It's very sad because you look out the window and it's just smog, and it's not fog. Like, you know, I live in San Francisco and there's fog and it's pretty. This is like, you know, you can barely breathe. A lot of foreigners, when they go to China, anywhere in China actually, and not just China, but, you know, I've been to Japan, Korea, and you see the smoke drift through. We're breathing this, and health issues are being caused. People who have unborn babies, they're experiencing problem when their babies are born. And we don't know how our bodies react. You know, cancer is caused, and weird mutations happen within our bodies because it's not natural. We're flesh and bones, and our internal organs, as much as they can do to try to purify and clean and protect our bodies, we're overwhelmed. And it's sad to see this is happening. And someone needs to be held accountable. And the government needs to hold companies accountable. The tenants need to hold their landlords accountable. Consumers need to hold companies accountable too. And this is a good thing. And it's a great thing if you're an entrepreneur in the space specifically.
Yeah, I can imagine. Although never visiting China myself, I am wondering, do you think that the fear of being sued is a bigger driver in this perspective for companies to act on? Or is it like the intrinsic motivation to create a healthier space for tenants, people in general?
All right, so...
Maybe it's a cultural thing as well, what I'm saying
here. We have listeners here who are in real estate. And as much as I'd like to paint a rosy picture and I'd like to say human beings are good by their very nature and are ethical, real estate is dirty.